This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you, Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender. And this morning we welcome Kalispell School Superintendent Matt Jensen.
Morning, thanks for having me back.
Sure, good morning, good to have you back. Well, we had kind of a split decision on the levy votes.
Yeah, so the high school levy continues to be a challenge. You know, we've put that out there, different options, different ways since 2007. We did see significantly more people vote this year, so we were pretty encouraged by that. I think this was a high, at least for the recent years we've been keeping track of it. And then on the elementary side, a very narrow win for the tech levy, but that will help our budget significantly.
Now, that one was sunset. We're going to sunset out anyway, right?
Yeah, so those technology budgets, safety levies, there's just a few levies in Montana that are termed. And those are 10-year terms, and so they just sunset at the end of it. We are at the end of that term, and so the vote to renew that levy will just keep those taxes flat.
Mm-hmm. So there really was no net gain or loss there, but it would have been a disaster if it had gone down.
Yeah, it's about $1.1 million on the elementary side. So if you think of all of those technology costs needing to be absorbed in the general budget, and you know, this is one of the things the state's looking at this year. They're looking at the funding formula and deciding, is the 80% that comes from the state, does that cover your basic services and your basic programs? And I say technology is one of those issues right at the top of the list. You know, if you were creating this funding formula 10, 20 years ago, technology was probably a smaller component of that financing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what, you know, just the technology in your guys' office here, it's amazing. You think of technology that just runs a regular classroom and the networks and the security and what it looks like to keep kids on technology where they're protected. We have all of the apps or services that allow them to navigate sites safely, but all of that adds up real quick. You know, I think that the average person could relate with household expenditures when you're just trying to secure what it costs to have internet at your house and you know, a cell phone and all of those bills. It's pretty amazing what that adds up to.
Yeah, well, it's we don't have to worry about that one, but we do have a problem at the high school level.
Yeah, so both budgets were sitting at about $1.5 million deficit for various reasons. With the high school, with the elementary tech levy passing, we're still about $400,000, $500,000 in the red going into next year.
So this is at the elementary level?
This at the elementary. And at the high school, the 90% funded, that's about where we sit, they're sitting at about $1.5 million deficit going into next year.
We're not in as bad a trouble as, say, Helena, for example, or Missoula.
Well, it depends how you look at it. I think we're all in the same boat. I'd say the differences are, and you know, I don't want to criticize some areas I don't know, but I know that when we received the federal COVID funds, the mm-hmm. ESSER funds, we did a really good job of paying that forward, and so we took care of some maintenance issues, all things that were allowable under the law. And then we were able to put some of that into reserves. And so next year we'll be in a position where we can call some of those reserves back as a 1 year mm-hmm. only. So we're gonna be able to cover our deficits for a year in both the elementary and the high school. Helena, Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, you know, those are just different situations. That's why you're seeing the significant cuts. I think that the news this weekend was Helena reduced 52 staff.
Yeah.
Billings mm-hmm. reduced 38 staff. I know Bozeman lost some staff last year. I'm not sure the exact numbers on Missoula, but it was pretty significant. At one time I heard it was closer to 100 between all positions, classified and certified positions. And if we were to look at our deficit right now and we were to equate that in RIF positions, we'd be sitting between 30 and 40. So that's what we're looking at going into next year. We got some work to do to see... Yeah.
Now, that with those positions cut, if they were cut, it would mean an increase in classroom size. How would it be handled?
Yeah, it's an increase in classroom size for sure, but it's also a decrease in programming and probably looking at overall all the things in the general fund that you can reduce or cut.
Yeah.
You know, our class sizes in K-2 are set at 20, so you can't exceed 20 kids in those classrooms, and we're pretty close. We're sitting about probably an average of about 18. And then once you get to third and fourth grade, the average or the state accreditation goes up to 28. We're a little less than that. We're sitting around 24. Then in fifth grade, it goes up to 30. So fifth through high school, you can have 30 kids in a classroom, and we're below that. We're, you know, there's some classes that are big, like a choir class will have 40 kids because they can do that for a choir, but then we'll have some shop classes, maybe some art classes that'll be down closer in the teens. And I'd say the programs that are really expensive for Kalispell to run is the VOAG Center. You know, that's outside of any special funding. So we're paying for the entire VOAG out of the general fund and the LEC. So our alternative high school and the VOAG Center are on the high school side, really expensive programs to run. I'd say the other area that people forget about is activities. So we have our normal activities. Coaches get paid pennies for the hours they put in. Everybody knows that. But there's no funding from the state for travel. And we've seen travel costs increase exponentially in the last however many years. And if you think of where Kalispell sits geographically compared to the other AAs, it's a problem for the AAs because of the travel time. But when you're tucked up in the northwest corner of Montana and your closest road game is Missoula versus if you're Helena and or Butte, you know, and you're in the middle of the state and you're just traveling on either side of you, everywhere we go is expensive. You know, we're looking at all of those areas. And then on the high school side, we don't have a tech levy. So we're currently absorbing all those technology classes on the high school side. And we're trying not to create too big of a discrepancy between the types of services we have K-8 and the type of technology services we have at the high school. But it is different. You know, the high school's sitting at a pretty significant disadvantage in being fully funded or not. And then they don't have the tech levy compared to the elementary.
Help us understand the... 80% comes from the state. How do they determine how much that 80% is going to be?
Well, every 10 years, they put together a committee and they determine what is in that 80% as far as services. And then they put a dollar amount to that. I think this year is a 10-year review. And I think it's going to be interesting, the things they look at. You just got to rewind 10 years ago and think about what schools kind of look like. And we've seen, you know, SROs become pretty popular in schools and necessary in a lot of cases. SROs are not part of a funding formula. Nurses at the middle school level, being an accredited middle school, means that you can offer programs similar to how you offer programs at a high school. That's not funded. Activities aren't funded. And then that basic entitlement just means what are the salaries that would be attached to that, and keeping track of inflation. So when you're seeing 1% and 2% coming from the state for inflationary increases the last several years, and then what we know has actually happened in the last 5 years with inflation, that alone creates a discrepancy, let alone the other types of programs. The other programs that I think are gonna get a lot of attention at the high school level is the CTE courses. There's a big push in Montana to have more opportunities for kids to get these skills in a classroom that they can start these internships and get into the workforce. All of those programs, just by design, are small teacher to student ratios. So you'll have, you know, 10 kids that are working under the direction of a program lead in a welding class, right? That ratio is not supported by the state when they start funding from a 30 student to one FTE ratio. An FTE is full-time educator. So all of that baked into that funding formula, I think, is going to be a challenge. I would say also we've seen across the state levies go down this spring, even in some communities that historically have, you know, fully funded their schools and they've been behind it. And what I sense is that there's just this frustration from taxpayers everywhere. You know, and I think that the state has to take a look at that. One of the statistics that we have here is that Montana, if you look at a per student expenditure, we are spending $315 million less as a state than the average on a per pupil basis. When you start looking at the other rural states, it's even worse. You know, compared to North Dakota, we're $347 million. Wyoming, we're $700 million lower. And then Alaska is a pretty extreme outlier, but speaks to the rural nature of their state. We're 1 billion less.
So we're spending less than those states with less population.
Yeah, so when you look at a per student expenditure, and the more rural a state is, just the more expenses you have with transportation and logistics of everything, and then also just trying to keep up with providing the services despite the size of a town. And so as a state, we're on a per pupil expenditure, there's not a better deal out there. I mean, we're really running very lean. And then I'd say if you just zoom in on Kalispell, the high school district is running as lean and as efficiently as anywhere else in the state. So as a state, we're very lean compared to the country. And then Kalispell is very lean compared to a very lean state.
We're looking at Helena. 52 staff have been, they aren't renewing their contracts. And we're talking about staff, I'm talking about teachers. 52 will, and these are young people who are non-tenured, which means they've been there for less than 10 years. These are young educators. Now, if you're looking at that and they say, well, maybe we can let you know in August whether or not you have a job next year, what would you do? You'd be sending out resumes like there's no tomorrow to get out of this state.
You know, it's just a heartbreaking situation when you think of what that really means for, you know, those educators that got into the profession. They're still paying off student debt, likely. Yeah. You know, and educators get into it because they care about taking care of other people's kids. So,
and they're at the lowest end of the scale.
Yep, they're at the lowest end of the scale. Non-tenured means that you're within your first 3 years of teaching. And so you're definitely at the bottom of that scale. One of the things we looked at this year is just trying to play this forward in our mind with knowing what we have for budget deficits. And we looked at four positions at the high school that were tied to the levy. And we said, if the levy doesn't pass these four positions that are open through retirement, we're going to not fill. And so on that side of the spectrum, when you talk about attrition, not filling a position, it's about a 2-to-1 advantage fiscally. When you look at not replacing a teacher that's retiring that's at the top of the scale versus finding yourself in a position where you're riffing teachers at the bottom of the scale. So we had four positions at the high school that we're not hiring back, and we did the same thing at the elementary. Our strategy would be to take advantage of attrition first next year, but hopefully, you know, the state comes through with looking at the funding formula and that helps out. There'll be another high school levy request next year, but based on the results, that will determine ultimately where we sit with riffing from the bottom, which, you know, if you're talking about that fiscal reality, that's twice as many staff at the bottom if you have to play it that way. But schools don't have a choice, and it's just a heartbreaking situation.
Yeah, and we're at the low end of the scale anyway for starting teachers. So
we're the worst in the country.
Yeah, so basically what we're looking at here is the young educators were graduating from our state universities. They're not going to come here. They're not going to stay in their home state. They're going to go somewhere else because A, they need more money, and B, they need job security, and they can't get either here.
Yeah, I'd put a plug in for public education. I think there's nothing more rewarding and humbling than to be entrusted with somebody else's kid. And so, you know, our profession, once you're in it and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, it just brings so much joy. It's just a great way to live life. Unfortunately, we're seeing less people get into the profession. I haven't seen this, but I heard this last week that the University of Montana graduated 9 elementary ed teachers.
Nine
from the University of Montana. We're also seeing what you just pointed out is you could, as an educator, you could go anywhere else in the country and make a better living. We've lost lots of teachers in the last 10 years to Wyoming specifically has been a place where our Montana kids will go and get jobs. But that's disheartening. You know, we want to raise people up in our communities, great citizens, and have them come back and invest into the system that helped them. And it's just a fiscal challenge. The other thing the legislature, I should have pointed out earlier, that the legislature is going to take a look at, and I hope they take a serious look at, is other states have cost of living inserted into that funding formula for high cost of living areas. So if you look at Kalispell, Bozeman, and Missoula, it's disproportionate for cost of living as compared to many other places in the state. And there's no change in the funding formula. So if you're a young teacher and there's an opening in Kalispell or Bozeman or Missoula, even if you want to live in those communities, it's really hard on 30-some thousand dollars a year to be able to move to our communities, find a place to rent, let alone work yourself into a mortgage. And so I think we're just sliding out of what's realistic and practical, and we need to re-envision and get creative about how we're going to fix some of these big problems.
Our guest is Matt Jensen. He's our Kalispell School Superintendent. We'll talk about the trustees next.
You try your best to plan for the unexpected, but sometimes things happen. That's okay. We've got you covered. This is Jennifer Evanoff for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. Let's say you need a new debit card. Maybe it's misplaced or someone used it fraudulently. Glacier Bank will take care of it. But how quickly, you wonder? Right away. No waiting for a new card to arrive in the mail, which can be a real pain. Simply walk inside any Glacier Bank location for your replaced instant issue debit card. You'll have it in a moment and back to your day. Easy. Oh, and there's no charge for the new card. That would just be one more headache. Is there anything else we can help you with? Glacier Bank loves making your life happier and better off.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
This is a pretty in-depth discussion we're having with Kalispell School Superintendent Matt Jensen. I want to turn to our school board. And one of the things we should point out is the school board, these people don't make any money doing what they do, yet they carry a tremendous amount of responsibility.
Yeah, it's a public service. It's totally volunteer, and you put your name on a ballot, and you get all sorts of unasked for advice about what you should be doing with the schools, for sure. But probably a thankless job, but also rewarding. You know, when you're a trustee, you get to be at the top setting the vision and mission for the district. You're the direct conduit to the community. So it's a position that we hold in high honor and trust.
It's also a difficult position in these times because really the trustees really only have two major responsibilities. One is fiscal, fiduciary. They've got to make sure you can pay all the bills. And number two, their job is to hire and supervise you.
Well, hopefully the second one we're making easier on them. But yeah, those are the two primary responsibilities. And in this climate with budgets, that first one that you pointed out, you know, that fiduciary responsibility is a big challenge. And I think what the trustees get frustrated with is they have this constitutional obligation to provide the best free public education they can. And then they see the funding and, you know, what these districts are going through across the state we were just talking about. It's hard to reconcile those two obligations. You have to balance the budget at the end of the day, but you can't cut programs to where you're killing the system underneath of you. So it takes a lot of creativity. It takes a lot of humility to go out into the community and ask for funds. We're losing two good ones. Lance Isaac has been a trustee, I think, for 9 years, maybe longer. Has been a tremendous trustee, was a board chair for several years. A lot of respect for him and just as a person and as a trustee, the way he did business. And then our board chair, Heather Asher, chose not to rerun, and she's done a great job. She stepped in this year as the board chair, as a new trustee, and really has done a great job of bringing the board together and working on some challenges. So we're welcoming Linda Capps from the Cayuse Prairie District, and then Heidi Hithaker from Kalispell.
Now, Heidi is very, very involved in the community. And I believe she was a trustee years ago. I think she was, but...
I'm not sure about that, but I know she at one time did work in Kalispell Public Schools. It was before my time
that's
here.
That's it, yeah.
But she has a great reputation in town, and I'm really looking forward to working with her.
Heidi Hickathier, she is incredible. She was. I was pleased to see that she won. I think she'll be a big part of it. But the board is going to have to make some tough decisions, and, you know, we elected them to do that. Boy, but I wonder if they realize what they signed up for.
We'll see.
So the big thing we want to talk about with all that we've talked about so far here today is what are you going to do next year, Matt? Robin will talk with you about that after this.
Where do you feel most at home? On your living room couch? Maybe with your family around the dinner table? This is Lacey Ambick, NMLS number 954154 for Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Feeling at home is important. We want to help you get there. The dream you had in mind, it could be buying a first home or building a new one. Glacier Bank is ready to make it happen. People like you have been trusting Glacier Bank to finance their projects for almost 70 years now. After all this time, you could say we know our way around the block. Give us the chance, and we'll do everything we can to get you in your home, feeling right at home. There's no better place to be.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Great conversation today with Kalispell School Superintendent Matt Jensen. Years ago, we'd say, okay, you got through the levees, now what? I'm going to Disneyland. But no, I know we're moving forward with plans for next year. Can you tell us about some of them?
Yeah, so the heart and center of a school is always about good teaching and learning. And we're building on a really great tradition here in Kalispell of having great public schools. But that's going to be the center of our focus next year. And that could be a whole nother episode with you guys. There's nothing that I get more excited about than talking about what we're doing with curriculum and instruction. But in a nutshell, we're emerging as leaders in our state with personalized competency-based education. And simply put, personalized part of it just means, what are we doing where students are taking more ownership? And what are we doing where students know exactly what it is they're expected to know and be able to do, and they're seeing a connection to real life application? On the competency based side is more of that curriculum piece. It's, have we narrowed the curriculum to make sure we're teaching the most important things? And then is that curriculum aligned from one grade level to the next so that we're ensuring we have a system that doesn't create holes? So that's our first, in that order, man, our primary responsibility is, what is the quality of the teaching and learning look like in our classrooms? So that's going to continue to be our focus. Outside of that, you know, definitely not Disneyland. It's more of the tighten the belt exercise. But we really need to work ourselves into, and this is going to be hard, but we really need to work ourselves into, what does a stable budget look like? And how are we staffing based on what's coming from the state? We're in a good position in a sense to where the state's going to do a 10-year review. So whether we like it or not, we're going to know what they consider part of the basic entitlement for the next 10 years. We also have an opportunity to rerun the high school levy, and I think we can be clearer with the community of saying, here's what the state's giving us for 80%. Here's what we need to cover. And then what types of education opportunities do we want for the kids in our community? And being more explicit about what goes away when levies don't pass. And then just, we need to live with those realities. I think that you can be frustrated and angry and sad and, you know, all of the things. But at the end of the day, you know, we live here and we're part of this community as well. And yeah, we need to be responsible to what the community wants to provide. And we need to provide a stable budget for that so that we're not doing what we were just talking about. We're yo-yoing teachers. You know, you hire a group of teachers and then you go through these budget crises and you're riffing a whole bunch of people and they're relocating. Yeah. And so we need to get that figured out in a more long-term, stable general fund budget. The other issue that we've already started working on, but it needs to become clearer next year, is we had a safety audit done at the beginning of this year. And we got those results back from the safety audit. We ran a safety levy, if you remember that, in the fall last year. Mm-hmm. And it failed, but we still are living with the findings of that audit. So we have to address it. We got to figure out, what are the top priorities from that safety audit? And then how can we address those issues at those individual buildings? And we got to start plowing through that. I'd say the last two that are going to round out the top five here would be communications. Historically, districts have been, I'd say a little bit passive with their communication. We've sat back and just, banked on some goodwill and good trust from the community based on the types of services we provide. I think educators by nature are pretty humble. And so when you try to give them a compliment, they're, oh, no, it's my kids. It's the, you know, whatever. Yeah. But we need to do a better job of letting the community know what's actually going on in our schools and what's why it's worth investing in.
My gosh, there's so many rumors running around about what's going on in our schools. Most of them are unfounded.
Yeah, and you know, and this is a particularly frustrating issue for me since I grew up here. You know, when I was a kid, my dad worked at the aluminum plant, my mom worked at Semi-Tool, and I can just remember this community that would get together. You know, somebody they worked with would get cancer or be going through a tough time, and you just see this group of employees or your neighbors get together and rally. They'd have an auction or some sort of fundraiser, and they would just look at this is a neighbor first, and then, you know, start sorting people out maybe by political. I don't even remember those conversations when I was a kid. But now it seems like we live in this community where people automatically start sorting people by, you know, political affiliation or religious affiliation or something, and then they start ruling them out. When you're in a public school, I would like to remind people, hey, our teachers are the same people you're crossing paths with on the street. They live here too. We're not some separate entity that gets cast in this mold from, you know, whatever major TV network that's playing in your living room at night. These are your neighbors that live right across the street. So if you have a question, we'd love to bring you in. I heard one, I had a cousin of mine call me, and he works in town here, and he said, I was in the lunchroom today, and I heard the guys talking about how you guys have litter boxes in your high schools. And I said, what are you talking about? You know, and it's those types of things where the discussion had gone on for weeks in the community before somebody had reached out to the school and said, you know, hey, why would you guys do that? Those things don't happen. They're not happening, right? But not only are some of those things not happening, but what I want to spend our time talking about is the great things that are happening.
Right.
You know, you can't visit one of our schools. I was just at Glacier the other day, and a group of kids wanted to fix a problem where the entrance, there's some cars that were just cutting corners and driving off the road. You know, it's kind of a backed up traffic situation. And so a group of kids got together and they decided, well, if we created a big entrance to the school that took up that space, it would fix that problem. So then they started rounding up donations. They combined with the engineering and art, created this new entrance, almost totally funded by donations from a student's idea. And they're putting it together. They're reviewing the engineering. They've had to work with the city on the planning. And it's going to be this beautiful entrance at the end of the day that's, you know, put together by just creativity, ingenuity, and then goodwill.
Yeah. A lot of proactive good things happening with the school. We'll have a continued conversation. There's a lot more to talk about.
This was so in-depth this morning. Yeah. And thank you for answering a lot of questions.
I appreciate you guys having
Matt.
Me.
All right, Matt Jensen, our Kalispell School Superintendent. And that's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, the service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.